This is Kelly Barnes, and I'm coming to you from the Polk County Enterprise office in Livingston, Texas, and the week in news has been full. Just as a reminder to introduce myself, I am manager of Polk County Publishing Company, our group of newspapers, and I office in the Livingston office, and I'm very proud to bring you the news from our reporters and editors and news director here in Livingston and the surrounding area. And it wouldn't be me if I didn't start out by saying I'm very proud that our newspapers are full of real, solid local news. And when I hear people say there's nothing in that newspaper, I know immediately that they do not read the newspaper, because from cover to cover, literally, it's full of news. And I'm looking now at Sunday's paper, which was March 31st, because there are two papers a week here in Polk County. And the first thing I find out, headline story by Jacob McAdams, who happens to be, you know Jacob from our podcast, editor of San Jacinto News Times, and he has the top story here that DEDCOG has approved its support for tribal gaming. And if you remember from our last podcast, and if you've been following in the news and our newspapers, Nazcala is having a struggle keeping their doors open. And we already know that James White supports them, Brian Babin supports them, and different organizations are now stepping up saying, we also support Nazcala and the Alabama Coushatta Tribe of Texas. And so that's the top story in Sunday's paper. Also, there's a story here. Our editor, Greg Peek, keeps up with our unemployment rate, and right now it has dipped down to 5.3%. I'm seeing on here that CHI St. Luke's, which has a hospital here in Livingston, has been awarded a cardiac patient care recognition. That's pretty exciting. And looks like in crime, which is brought to us by our news director, Valerie Riddell, there's been a local man charged with arson in the Shelter Cove's fire. His name is Tommy Jones, and you can read all about it. I know Valerie also keeps up with the crime Behind the Pine Curtain, another podcast, but she always in the paper has what's going on in Polk County, so you can keep up with that. I think it's important to note that the newspaper also carries, besides a calendar of events of everything that's going on, so you can just line by line look. This is Mental Health Awareness Month. There's a cemetery homecoming at Magnolia Hill. There'll be a quilt show April 6th and 7th. It's the Livingston Peacemakers Quilt Guild. That's cool. It's on Saturday and Sunday coming up this weekend. Of course, that'll be the same time that Tyler County's having the Dogwood Festival. That's also going on this weekend. Very interesting. The life tributes, the people who've passed away in the area. We have Joanne Anderson. We have Glenda Maxine Baker Cryer. We have Johnny Mike Michael Allen. And oh, look here. Looks like the local motel sells for $3.6 million, the Hampton Inn in Livingston. So I'll let you grab a paper and read all about that. There is a cancer survivor dinner also on April 13th. People, I've only gotten through the first couple of pages of the newspaper, and I'm already learning so much. I'm going to flip on through and let's see what. Oh, look, Tim Martin, who also joins Valerie on the Crime Behind the Pine Curtain, he's done an article here. He's interviewed, looks like, Mattress Mac, who is talking about our local Escapees Care Center mission here in Livingston. That's interesting. You'll need to get the paper and read that article. Let's see what else we have. A circus came to town 25 years ago. This is by Barbara White. She was former editor, and in my opinion, she's one of our best writers. Very entertaining to read her stuff, but she always keeps us posted on what happened 25 years ago, which for me used to be always a long time ago, and it gets shorter and shorter when I realize. Have y'all ever done that? You watch movies and you think, I cannot believe that movie came out 30 years ago. Are you kidding me? But that's what happens when you get older. Okay, I see a really good article in here about the wildflowers. Of course, all of you know that because of the El Nino, this is supposed to be a spectacular wildflower season. And the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department is talking about places you can go to check those out. I'm actually going to dive into that story a little bit more myself, because I want to take a weekend here pretty quick and make the drive. This is exciting. Of course, Brian Besch is our sports editor, and he has his own sports podcast along with our editor of our Trinity County paper, Jason Klapek. But Brian keeps us up to date. He's at all the games. And here he's featuring Onalaska, who won their game by a point. That's the boys' baseball, and the girls were short by a run. And you can read those stories about Onalaska right here in the Sunday issue of the Enterprise. I could go on and on. It looks like Moore Auto has lots of vehicles for sale. That's a free commercial for them. One other thing I wanted to point out in this Sunday's paper, what was interesting, if you're interested in the Goodrich community, we have someone now, Brenda. She always writes about the Goodrich community, and she's talking about a historical cemetery that had heavy damage from some logging. And then I see she talks about some Goodrich school news, Goodrich church news, and she's going to keep you up to date on what's going on in Goodrich. That's just a few of the things. Then you can pick up Thursday's issue of the Enterprise. It's the very most current and on the stands now. And it's a reminder, first thing, that Relay for Life is coming up. It's actually going to be April 27th at Pedego Park, and it is going to be from 5 to 10 p.m. So those of you that have participated in the past or you're planning to participate this year, it's different. It's Saturday. It's from 5 to 10 p.m. So get ready. I know our office here in Livingston are participating. We're going to join the Disney theme and have a Finding Nemo booth, and we're really excited because you're going to be able to go fishing. And you could win some small prizes, but also we're going to be fishing for some Slitterbond tickets every hour while we're out there. So from 5 to 10 p.m., you can try your luck at fishing at the Polk County Enterprise booth. Of course, we'll be charging to fish because all the money goes to Relay for Life. But when you're doing that, there is a chance every hour that you actually find Nemo. And when you do that, guess what? You're going to win a couple of Slitterbond tickets. And that's really cool because it's coming. Summer weather's on its way. Well, let's see. Valerie has a story, a headline story here. There's a mistrial declared in the first day of testimony. This is District Judge Casey Jones called a halt to a trial in the 411th District Court on March 19th, the first day of testimony related to manslaughter charges filed in the death of Spencer James Sadler. So that's a story that you're going to want to read in the paper this week. And it looks like that Polk County has also taken steps to establish a veterans court. That's very interesting. The city wins a top power safety award. That's important. And looks like Valerie has done a story from Goodrich about an elderly disabled woman who was removed from her home and an infant was taken by CPS on March 27th following the arrest of three people that investigators found at the location on a narcotics charges. So she's taking care of business and not cutting anyone any slack. We're going to tell who the bad guys are so that you know. And we need to help our senior citizens out there and people who are disabled not get taken advantage of by these people who, a lot of them, unfortunately, are addicted to drugs and they just don't care as long as they get the money they need to support their habit. And that's not a good thing. Let's see what else I've got here. There's an annual picnic held on Saturday. Farm Bureau had a picnic in Matthews Park, and it looks like 320 people turned out. So you can see a picture there. If you were there, you might actually be in the picture that's in the paper. Let's see what else. Oh, look, the Livingston Swing is hosting a concert. It's like a swing band concert. Let's see when that is. That's interesting. Stuff going on. They'll perform Tuesday, April 9th at First Baptist Church in Livingston. And this is going to be, according to them, the biggest and the best concert they've ever had. This is according to Director Gerald Fagan. So if you like that kind of thing, there's something for you to do right here in Livingston. Let's see what else I can find. Oh, life tributes. There's several in here, people that have passed away. We've got Alan Dell Oxener. We've got Jonathan Merritt Alexander Sr. We have Velma Lee Schimmel. I think that's the spelling, but I'm not sure. I mean, excuse me, the pronunciation. It's spelled S-H-A-M-E-L. Crystal Mary Mingus, Gary Roberts, and Larry Irvin Deploy, DEPLOIS. I apologize for not getting those right. Looks like SPCA here in Livingston, who takes care of our animal population, had an auction. In an effort to overcome a shortfall, they're encouraging area residents to help by purchasing the remaining inventory of its resale shop. Okay, that's going to be this Saturday, April the 6th. So if you go by the SPCA this Saturday, April 6th, you'll be able to see what they have in their resale shop that they're selling, and all that money is going to help them get out of their shortfall. And before I wrap up, I'd like to also tell you that Brian Besh, our sports editor, has told us that the Corrigan Camden team, Bulldogs, improve their standings in District 21-3A this Tuesday with a 5-4 win over Pollock Central. So that's cool. And Corrigan Camden softball were about as close as it gets to winning before it was taken away. So it looks like the girls were defeated by Pollock Central team. But there are some area soccer champions, and they have a big story here in the Enterprise. So if you're a soccer fan, you need to get out there. The Livingston boys soccer has advanced one more, shutting out the Wharton Tigers 3-1 in an area round of the playoffs. That was Tuesday night at Waller. And it looks like they're coach congratulated the team and said, just keep winning and we get to keep playing. Well, that's true. So that's exciting. We're following soccer also in the Polk County Enterprise. So I guess what I'm saying to you is there's a ton of things to read in the Polk County Enterprise. I've just given you lots of activities, different areas in Polk County that are being reached by the paper. I know coming up we've got some Corrigan school news and we've got some Big Sandy school news. They have their own pages once a month, and that's brought to you by local merchants who say, hey, we want to support those kids. There's also legal notices in the paper. If you want to know what's happening, like right now, I'm just looking that Georgia Pacific is applying for an heir permit amendment. And then there's people seeking their heirs. And of course, in the classifieds, you've got lawn care, stump grinding, you've got garage sales, car washes, just things to buy. So is the paper worth buying? Absolutely. But I'm proud to bring you the podcast this week. Thank you for having me. And of course, I'm not a reporter and an editor, but I am a manager and an avid reader of the Polk County Enterprise and all of our papers here in the East Texas area that are under the umbrella of Polk County Publishing Company. So thank you for joining us. And I am honored to be on this panel of experts, although I'm just a consumer, not one of the writers and editors that you get to hear. Thank you so much for joining me.
Howdy, everybody. Chris Edwards here from the Tyler County Booster, bringing you the news and events of Tyler County, ripped straight from the headlines of the Tyler County Booster for this week. So I hope everybody is doing extremely well out there and keeping warm. I know we've had a slate of very cold mornings for April anyway here lately. It's starting to warm up again. So hopefully that'll keep, because it's kind of like, what gives? Where did spring go? You teased us springtime and now you're cold again, but it's starting to warm up again. Which leads into the lead story, Dogwood Queen Weekend. To anybody listening to this podcast, I know that you've probably gotten tired of me mentioning Dogwood Festival doings for the past few weeks. The final weekend of the Dogwood Festival is upon us. Saturday brings the Queen's Weekend. And with that comes a parade and a pageant and a play in Woodville. And it's a lot of fun for the whole family. There's vendors of all sorts. You can get some really, really, really good barbecue. And I will swear on a stack of Bibles that it's some of the best barbecue in the world. Wilbert T. There's a lot of other great food vendors. But if you're into barbecue, you're in for a real treat if you hit up Wilbert T's barbecue pit. And he only really ever cooks for, you know, benefits and caters a little bit nowadays, but he's always at the Dogwood Queen Weekend and at Western Weekend. And you'll know his because his pit will have the longest line. It's usually wrapped around the block. But aside from the great food, I mean, there's going to be a lot of other great festival food too. So, you know, everything from funnel cakes to festival lemonade and even some crawfish. I've had some pretty good crawfish at Dogwood Festival years ago. So there's that, and you can get all kinds of neat little souvenirs and everything from costume jewelry to pocket knives to wooden sculptures and everything in between. So downtown Woodville, Saturday morning is going to be the place to be. The vendors get started up around 9, and they're still going to be going after the parade. And then, of course, later comes pageant and the play and all that. So it's going to be a good time. So if you happen to be in town for that, stop by the booster office. We'll have the office open and got a special treat for anybody who comes by. Come on by and find out what we're holding on to that we have to hand out to folks. So moving right along with some other stuff. This week, the big news item and the issue of the booster this week has to do with our county government here in Tyler County. Last Thursday, at a special meeting of the Tyler County Commissioners Court, the commissioners unanimously voted to authorize Judge Jacques Blanchette to sign and execute an agreement between the county and the Texas Historical Commission. Now, the reason why this particular meeting and this signage was so significant is it's a remediation agreement between the county and the Historical Commission. And if all the stipulations are followed through by the county that are outlined in this agreement, then the Historical Commission will go ahead and continue to help with preservation or eventual restoration of the courthouse, which has been an ongoing project for many, many years. The goal is, of course, to restore the courthouse to its original appearance from dating back to 1891. Now, a little backstory with this, and I spoke with Judge Jacques Blanchette at length about it going back about 5 years ago. The county began to make some improvements to the courthouse, which they were under the impression that it was all right. It was kosher to do. But under the conditions of the Texas Historical Commission, they apparently were not in the clear to do. And nobody said anything about it until Judge Blanchette had called someone about some changes that were made in one of the offices. And then, you know, somebody from the Historical Commission got almost apoplectic. And then ensued a long series of meetings and calls and discussions. And finally, though, they're at a point to where they've signed this remediation agreement, and it looks like it's their best opportunity going forward to continue with the work that was done. So if you pick up this week's edition of the Booster, that's the lead story, and it goes into a lot more detail about that meeting and about the circumstances around it. In other news, and this is something that we published last week, but I'm going to go ahead and talk about it a little bit since I didn't really talk about it in the last time I spoke to you on this podcast. Kind of a little good news for a change item for you. We published a story about a gentleman by the name of Daryl Morris. He's better known to many in the area as Harry Cheeks. He's a club DJ and a musician, and he's also a combat veteran. Mr. Morris recently wanted to find a service dog to help with his PTSD issues that he had from serving overseas in Operation Iraqi Freedom. He contacted an agency in Galveston, and right away they referred him to a group called Winds for Warriors. And the cool thing about this Winds for Warriors, it's an organization that was started by Justin Verlander, who is an all-star pitcher for the Houston Astros. And it wasn't, you know, but a week or so took Mr. Morris, or DJ Harry Cheeks, most people know him as Harry Cheeks around here, or he actually calls himself the PTS DJ, jokingly. But he was placed with a dog in about a week after the initial contact, and he got to go down to Florida and train with an expert who's also a combat veteran and get acclimated with the dog and train the dog and everything. And I got to visit with him and his dog named Bear, and Bear's a beautiful Labrador mix, and he said it's been doing him a lot of good to have that service dog, to have that companionship, and he's kind of back to doing some gigs and things and enjoying that companionship. He just wanted to let people know that there are options out there. There is help for combat veterans and anyone who's having a hard time, mental issues or suicidal thoughts or whatever the case might be. There is help out there. And there's a lot of people out there struggling, especially combat veterans. I was reading something not too long ago. It was some information from the Mayo Clinic that defined what PTSD is. And basically, PTSD can be defined as almost like a state of immobilization or being stuck, if you will. Basically, whenever one's nervous system is unable to return to whatever its normal state was before a traumatic event or being put into danger. And according to the Department of Veterans Affairs, there are 11 to 20 out of every 100 veterans who served in the Operation Iraqi Freedom who are diagnosed with PTSD in a given year. So there's a lot of our servicemen and women out there who are suffering, and we thank them greatly for putting their lives on the line for us, for our country. But remember, there are a lot out there who are having a hard time of it. But there is help out there. There are organizations like Wins for Warriors, and there's a lot of good being done through the VA and also a lot of other charitable organizations. So I guess one other thing to make note of, Deep East Texas Council of Governments, or DETCOG, which services 12-county region, which includes Tyler County, they met last week in Cold Spring. And one of the topics that came up was H.R. 759, which is going through Congress and was introduced by our Congressman, Dr. Brian Babin, in support of the Alabama Coushatta Tribe and trying to keep the Nuskilla Gaming Hall open. And the aim of the bill is to clarify some of the conflicts between federal statutes to the tribe. And basically, a rundown for anybody who's been following this. The Nuskilla Gaming, it opened back in May of 2016. And the tribe had received authorization from the Department of the Interior to go ahead with it. However, the venue is regulated by the Federal National Indian Gaming Commission, which was established by the Indian Gaming Regulatory Act. Now, the conflict is over the tribe operating this as an electronic bingo hall, which that federal statute and Texas law come into conflict here because the state of Texas says this is a form of gambling. However, there are two other tribes that operate full-blown casinos in other parts of the state. So we've had a lot of our leaders, not just Dr. Babin, but also at the county level and people within DETCOG and so forth come out in support of our neighbors there, the Alabama Coushattans, because there's a lot of jobs. There's 370 jobs at the site itself, according to the story that our editor, Jacob McAdams, who serves the San Jacinto County area, covered that meeting. And it appears in this week's edition of The Booster, along with some of the other papers in the Polk County publishing chain. So that's something that definitely is of interest to people in our area and impacts people in our area, because I've been to that gaming hall numerous times and it's a neat place. I mean, you don't win real big jackpots, or I haven't, but it's family friendly. It's not really that far from home. And yeah, it really has brought a lot of jobs and a lot of money into an area where there's not a lot of either of those things. Let's remember to continue to support our neighbors, the Alabama Coushattans, and what they're trying to do. I guess that's about it for my neck of the woods. So I guess any parting words of wisdom? Well, I guess they really fail me. Anything too eloquent right now. It's been a long day, but I will bid you adieu and leave you with my usual goodbye message to remember to be kind to one another and to yourselves, and have an extremely great weekend and a safe one too. And if you happen to be cruising through Woodville, stop a while and take in the sights and sounds and smells of the Dogwood Festival. So I'm Chris Edwards, and I am glad you've listened to this edition of the East Texas News Roundup. Catch you next time.
In Trinity County, we have a follow-up story on the Justin Hansen arrest. If you recall, Hansen was on the run from law enforcement after he had warrants out for aggravated assault and kidnapping. He was caught last Monday after a four-day search, and there's an interview with Trinity County Sheriff Woody Wallace regarding the arrest and the details of the arrest. A man from Groveton was killed in a car accident last Friday in Goodrich. That is also in the paper. The Bear Chase Marathon took place in Groveton, and there is a centerpiece photo package on the front page and photo spreads on pages 7 and 8A of this week's section. Also, the city of Groveton approved a second water well for the city. They've been operating on one water well, and now they need a second water well to meet the needs of the citizens. Groveton ISD also canceled its Board of Trustees election, which was supposed to take place May 4th, when nobody decided to run against the current incumbents. It has been 6 years since Groveton ISD had a trustee election, with the last year being 2013. And Trinity ISD honored some of its students who participated in the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo and the Trinity County Fair at its previous board meeting, which took place last Monday as well.
Hello, East Texas. Megan Whitworth here for your update on the latest in Houston County. So let's dive in. One of the biggest updates for the Houston County area is that Onshore Technology is coming to Crockett. Onshore, also known as Onshore Outsourcing, will add as many as 100 information technology jobs to the local employment role. Onshore officials and Crockett City officials made it a done deal during the Monday, April 1st City Council meeting. The company is originally from Macon, Missouri, and they will be locating a branch facility here. The business will be located in the CEIDC building that was previously occupied by the Angelina College Crockett Center and Workforce Solutions Deep East Texas. Workforce Solutions still has an office in the building, and it is located in the northeast corner of the intersection of Loop 304 and South 4th Street. So Chief Executive Officer Shane Mays spoke with Courier reporter Alton Porter Tuesday about moving to Crockett and how people can apply for a job at Onshore. And that story is on page 1A, and you don't want to miss reading on about Mr. Mays and his decision to come to Crockett. And Mays did say that Onshore will be conducting interviews for direct hire candidates through the month of April. And for those who would like to join the Onshore family, but who don't have a background in IT, don't fret. Mays said that they have a boot camp style training program that they provide at no cost. So to apply, visit onshoreoutsourcing.com/careers or contact Cynthia Melendez by email at recruiting@onshoreoutsourcing.com or by phone by calling 912-289-1842. The City Council also officially voted to keep the Courier as the city's official newspaper during Monday's meeting. And let me just say, so I have been with Polk County Publishing, the publishing company that publishes Houston County Courier, for 2 years, and I officially joined the Courier team last July, and I just want to say it is such an honor to be voted to keep that role as the city's official newspaper. So I just want to say thank you to the city council members for their vote and support of us, and I also definitely want to give a thank you to our readers for giving them a reason to keep us as that official newspaper role. So just thank you. We definitely strive our best to give you the latest news and updates of Houston County and especially the Crockett area. So just big thank you. So moving on to Latexo. Latexo ISD officially named Michael Woodard as their new superintendent of Latexo schools during a meeting on March 28th. Woodard's hiring as superintendent immediately took effect. And just a little background there, Mr. Woodard had been named as the lone finalist on March 5th. He has served as the principal of Latexo High School since last July, and prior, he was serving as principal of Crockett Junior High School for 2 years. Mr. Woodward replaces Interim Superintendent Gary Gazaway, who stepped in to lead the district after the retirement and resignation of Dr. Stacy Easterly last October. So congratulations to Mr. Woodard. We definitely look forward to working with you and continuing telling the story of students and just the news and updates of Latexo ISD. So I just wanted to give y'all a reminder about the Houston County Fair and Youth Livestock Show and Home and Garden Fair that is currently going on right now. So we are recording this on a Wednesday, so the fair will be close to wrapping up when y'all hear this. And I just wanted to give y'all, the community, a reminder to come out on Friday, April 5th for the Buyer's Appreciation Dinner. That is held from 4 to 5:30 p.m. And then also the Sale of Champions at 6 p.m. And that is a time for these kids to show off their animals and to get the money that it's worth. And these kids have worked so hard and so long. And just have the community come out and support them really just gives these kids a chance to shine and to feel that confidence in themselves. So there's just a lot going on in Houston County. You want to make sure to follow us on Facebook at HC Courier and on our website at hccourier.com just for the latest updates. When we're going out to the fair, Alton and I, we're posting on social media. I did a live today just going out there and seeing these kids. It's always just an exciting time. I love covering the county fairs. And there's just a lot going on. So definitely keep up with the latest on our Facebook and our website. And we'll just keep on going and keep it on sharing the news of Houston County. So thanks for giving me a listen. And I will talk to you next time. Bye.
Well, hello, everyone. This is Jacob McAdams, the editor of the San Jacinto News-Times, and I'm going to bring you all of the recent news that we've had over in our area. On March 25th, The Cold Spring Oakhurst CISD school board had their school board meeting, and it proved to be interesting. A good chunk of the meeting was actually dedicated to public comments, and if you went down there, there was someone outside that wanted people to sign a petition in regards to the recent arrests of five of the student athletes. And we don't have all the details finalized, but what we do know is that five athletes were arrested in regards to charges related to alcohol that apparently was passed around on the bus. From what I'm understanding, they're on the varsity baseball team. And that Monday night, they had a full house. They have the meetings over at the Jones Education Complex in the auditorium, where a lot of organizations like to have their events. For instance, the Cold Spring Chamber has their Best of Sanderson in the County event up there. And simply put, they had five people speak on the issue. And, you know, some people, they express their understanding that it's understandable that the kids need to be punished. But some people do feel that it was taken a little too far. One parent indicated that he is planning to bring a joint civil suit against the school district and the Cold Spring Oakhurst CISD Police Department. So it's going to be an interesting story. Now, again, we don't have all the details. Chief Roosevelt Joseph, he is the school police department's police chief. He has currently declined a comment, which is understandable. But so far, we have not gotten any comments from anyone on the school side about the event. And we're hoping to get some here soon, but we'll see how that goes. What we do know, though, is that it was a pretty interesting meeting to watch. It was a full auditorium, and you had five individuals just speaking on the matter, but we'll see how it plays out. Hopefully we'll get more information to y'all in the future. Last Thursday, that is going to be the 28th of March, the Deep East Texas Council of Governments, more commonly known as DETCOG, they had their meeting over here in Sanderson County in Cold Spring at the community shelter. And they had a number of items on their agenda, and the first item involved getting some support for H.R. 759. Now, people that spoke on the issue are members of the Alabama Coushatta Tribe, which is located not far from Livingston over in Polk County. And H.R. 759, it's a bill that was introduced by Representative Brian Babin, and it regards a conflict over gambling, especially in Texas. Now, if you're not aware, Alabama Coushatta, the tribe, has on their premises Nascala Gaming. And Nascala Gaming has having a conflict with Texas, that is, with the state of Texas, over its use of electronic bingo, which Texas supposedly constitutes as a form of gambling. And so if H.R. 759 passes, it will help clarify a lot of this, and it will help keep Nascala Gaming safe. And Cecilia Flores, who is a chairperson on the Alabama Coushatta Tribal Council, she discussed the impact that Nascala Gaming has on the local economy. It provides 500 jobs, which 370 of those are actually from outside of the Alabama Coushatta tribe. So it does come from individuals living in the local areas that are not Native American. She said she estimated about 70%, I think, or 75% is of Nascala Gaming's employees are non-tribal members. Most of their visitors come from Harris County, and the tribe itself generates $140 million into the regional economy, according to Flores. So they did get some support from DETCOG from that, which it supported the resolution, you know, just basically saying they're in support of H.R. 759. They had a speaker talking about rewriting grants for law enforcement training. They're hoping to reach at least twice as many officers with the rewrite. The grant has mostly been a reimbursement program for officers for traveling and training, but this will allow DETCOG to become a provider for TCOL, which is the Texas Commission of Law Enforcement, and that will bring training to the DETCOG region. And so that will help reduce travel for some individuals. They also discussed an update for a new building for DETCOG. It's part of a joint venture with a nonprofit organization that DETCOG helped to create, which is the Forest Country Development Corporation. And the Forest Country Development Corporation is expected to own the building, and they are going to lease it out to DETCOG. And the cost of the building is going to be $2,917,520. They're short of just under $200,000 to finish the building, and they are hoping to get the extra roughly $200,000 through grants. If they can't do it through grants, then they are going to look at loans. They also talked about the broadband study, and the broadband study that's being conducted across DETCOG. Their idea is to help show that there is a need for broadband connection in the DETCOG region. They are looking at businesses, organizations, law enforcement agencies, school districts, emergency personnel, anything that they can look at where broadband could become a necessity for those groups. So we did get a little bit of an update on that. And then they had a representative from the GLO office talk about some of their programs. One of those is the Homeowner Assistance Program. They've had 590 applications with 233 that are submitted for review. And they also have two homes that are approved for construction under the Homeowner Assistance Program, which, of course, this is all in regards to the flooding from Hurricane Harvey back in 2017. And also, they have the Homeowner Reimbursement Program. Now, if you have actually worked on your home in regards to Hurricane Harvey, this is actually an important program. It's the first of its kind done by GLO, and they will reimburse you up to $50,000 for the repair costs that you've done for your home. Now, there are some stipulations. I believe the repair costs had to be done, I think, prior to February or January. I'm not entirely sure on that, but you may want to look these up online just so you can make sure whether or not if you fit the bill for these programs. Again, that's the Homeowner Assistance Program, and the second one is the Homeowner Reimbursement Program. If you Google those, you will find links for them, and you should be able to start the application process that way. And finally, on Saturday, we had a pretty busy day. We had a few events going on just on that day alone. We had over at the San Jacinto County Courthouse Square in Cold Spring, we had the March Madness event, ends with the Crazy Hat Contest. And that was pretty fun. And the any money that's raised through the Crazy Hat Contest goes to CareShare, which is the local food pantry. The winner was Karen Teasdale, who had this hat that was kind of designed to look like it was kind of like a top hat, and it was designed with grass on it, like what you'd use for like an Easter basket, I guess. And she is one of the owners of the Camp Jason RV Resort that's in Cold Spring, like you're going towards Camilla. And so they have kind of a flamingo motif with their resort, so they decorated the hat to look like that. It looked really cool, and we had a few other entries that were very awesome as well, but it seemed like everyone just wanted to go for Karen Teasdale's hat because of just how much effort she put into designing it. So congratulations to her for winning that. We also had down at the Old Town Cold Spring an engine show. And now you may be wondering what that means. Well, for a while now, the San Jacinto County Historical Commission has been holding on to this antique engine. I believe it's a 1920 engine. If it's not 1920, it's 1910. I believe it's 1920. It's a stover that generates 12 horsepower, and it goes to a grist mill that is down over in Old Town Cold Spring as well. But they decided to show off the engine. They had Larry Paschke demonstrating it and giving details about how it operates and whatnot. And other people brought their engines too. We did get to see a couple other stovers that were pretty interesting in their own right. We had one that generated 3 horsepower that Paschke also brought. We had a man named J.W. Owens III. He brought another stover that was 10 horsepower. And we had a few others. We had a guy who brought a Deutz, which that one was actually more recent. It's a 2005 model. The other models came from closer to the 1900s, you know, 1910s, 1920s, that sort of thing. He did show that one as well. And so it was a lot of fun. It was interesting to see some of the history of San Jacinto County in action and see it in operation. And so you can see the grist mill down at Old Town Cold Spring. They have it displayed in the property closer to the back area. So feel free to go down there and take a look at it yourself, as well as the engine connected to it. All right. Well, we hope to just talk to y'all again soon. We will be discussing next time some events that happened this week, which involve our State of the County address from San Jacinto County Judge Fritz Faulkner, as well as a discussion by local City Councilwoman Yvonne Reba, who gave a talk that she titled, "I Was Born During an Air Raid," where she discussed her life growing up in World War II and post-World War II. So we hope to hear y'all again soon, and y'all have a good evening.